Now, we're going to go kind of dive right into LARC and some experience in the U.S. I can't wait to hear this more nuanced information about all the great work that's been going on in Colorado and Iowa. So I'd like to invite up Dr. Antonia Biggs, and she will introduce herself and let us know what we're going to hear.
Hello. Good afternoon. Thank you. So I'm Antonia Biggs, and I'm with the Bixby Center for Global Reproductive Health, and I'm also affiliated with the ANSWER program, which are both part of the University of California, San Francisco. And as Wayne said, I'm switching gears today, moving from Africa to the states of Colorado and Iowa, where I'll be presenting data on to the extent to which providers believe that offer long-acting reversible contraception in one visit. And first I want to thank my co-authors, Abigail Ahrens, Rita Turner, and Claire Brindis, and I also want to acknowledge our collaborators at Philibert Research Associates, Susan Philibert, Heather Hirsch, Ashley Philibert, and Lou Mortiaro. So I have no disclosure, nothing to disclose.
What's cool about family planning?
I mean, I've been working in the field for about 15 years, and I think what really motivates me in family planning is just, it gives women the opportunity to live the lives they want to lead. And unfortunately, the women who are most affected by lack of access are disadvantaged women, and so I feel that there's just so much that we can do there. And so it's a very general motivation, but I think that's the truth. And I'm really excited about LARC methods. And so first, to give, for those of you who might not be familiar, when I'm speaking of long-acting reversible contraception, this is also referred to commonly as LARC methods in our field. And these include the IUD and implant. Currently in the U.S. market, we have three kinds of IUDs, the Mirena, Paragard, and Skyla, and two kinds of implants, so Implanon and Nexplanon. And as many of you know, at least those of you who do work in the U.S., the unintended pregnancy rates in the U.S. have hovered at around 50% for the past decades. And they haven't moved in ways that we would want them to move. People in the family planning community are really excited about the idea of LARC and its potential for reducing unintended pregnancy. And its potential really lies in their effectiveness. So these are the most effective, reversible forms of contraception. The reason why they're so effective is that you don't have to think about them. They're unforgettable. You don't have to think about them for 3 to 11 or more years, depending on the method. Women seem to be very satisfied with them, and they have very low discontinuation rates. And then also, very importantly, these methods are suitable for nearly all women. So this includes teenagers, women who have never been pregnant, women at risk of STIs, PID, and HIV. So in 2009, the American College for Obstetricians and Gynecologists issued a committee opinion where they recommended LARC as a first-line contraceptive option. And here they noted its potential to reduce unintended pregnancy and the suitability of these methods for nearly all women. And in this figure, you can see exactly how effective LARC methods are when we compare them to other methods. So the LARC methods, the IUD and implant, are highlighted in orange. And what distinguishes them from the rest is, one, they're the most effective, but the other important characteristic is that their typical failure and their perfect failure, the typical use failure rates and their perfect use failure rates are very similar, whereas we see vast disparities when we look at the other methods. And this is mostly because they are not prone to user error. Now, while the number of women in the U.S. who are using LARC methods has actually grown considerably in recent years, still, when we compare how many women in the U.S. use LARC, it's still quite low compared to methods like the pill or condom. And then also, if we were to compare the number of women in the U.S. to other countries using LARC methods, we would also find that the U.S. is quite low. So there are a number of reasons to explain the low use of LARC in the U.S. These include patient-level barriers, so lack of patient acceptability and knowledge about LARC. Some women hold some misperceptions about LARC. We also have a number of provider-level barriers, so lack of trained providers to perform insertions. Also, many providers also hold misperceptions about the suitable candidates for LARC, so there's still many providers out there who have a very narrow view of the types of women who would be appropriate for a LARC method. And then we have the structural level of barriers, which include cost and reimbursement issues and clinic protocols. And this is really the focus of my talk today, where specifically I'm looking at the ability of providers to offer LARC in one visit. Now, ACOG actually has a number of guidelines that are related to the idea of same-day LARC insertions. They recommend that providers adopt same-day LARC insertion protocols. They also say that LARC can be inserted at any time during the menstrual cycle, as long as pregnancy is reasonably excluded. They say that routine screening tests are not required. In the case of STIs, when a woman is at high risk of STIs, you can screen and treat on the same day or wait till the test results become available. And then they recommend LARC immediately following miscarriage, abortion, and delivery. And they recommend the copper IUD as the most effective form of emergency contraception, which, of course, if we were to provide it, we would need to provide it quickly and wouldn't work so well if we had to had women return later for a subsequent visit. So when providers are unable to provide LARC in one day, this really is a big barrier, can be a big barrier for the client. A lot of studies have shown that this results in loss to follow-up, so many women don't return for that follow-up visit. Also, between that first visit and that follow-up visit, a woman might be placed at risk for an unintended pregnancy. And then this can prevent providers from offering women immediate post-abortion and postpartum LARC, and the copper IUD as EC. So there's actually very little literature out there looking at the extent to which providers are offering same-day insertions, and we don't really know that much. I feel like there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, but we don't know that much about the barriers that are leading to delay. I found there's only one study that I found, which is Cynthia Harper's study, where she did a survey of family PAC providers in California. These are the state family planning providers. And she only looked at IUDs, she didn't look at the implant, but she found that 7% of the California providers were able to offer the IUD in one visit. And then somewhat related is also Kirsten Thompson's study, who I see here in the audience, where she did a national survey of abortion providers and found that only a little over a third of abortion providers could offer immediate post-abortion IUD, and 17% can offer immediate post-abortion implant. So I'll be presenting my findings in the context of the Colorado and Iowa initiatives to reduce unintended pregnancy. These initiatives were launched in 2007, and the funding for the initiatives are winding down over the course of this year and the next. The overall goals of the initiative are to reduce unintended pregnancy, mostly by increasing access to services and increasing LARC uptake, essentially. So these initiatives funded a diverse array of agencies, but today I'm specifically going to focus on the 48 clinical providers that received initiative funding. So all the Title X clinics, so that's the federal family planning program, participated in the initiative. So these are all the Title X clinics in both states. And they also included a couple other family planning providers that had a prominence in those states. So these clinical agencies could use their funding the funding they received was very flexible. They could use it in many different ways. And these are some of the ways that they use their funding. So they could use it to expand the reach of their services by opening new clinics and expanding hours of operation. Increase staffing, increase provision of LARC. So here, what's very important is that they were able to pay for LARC devices and train providers on LARC insertions. And they also funded media campaigns to bring in more clients into their clinics. So here today, specifically, this study is aiming to assess clinical protocols and clinician attitudes regarding same-day LARC insertions and identify the barriers to immediate LARC provision. So what we did, last year we surveyed all the directors and clinicians from these 47 initiative-funded agencies. So we had qualitative interviews with the clinic directors, and the clinic directors also completed a short survey. And then the clinicians also completed a short survey. We had up to 5 clinicians from each site participate. So what we found that only about half of the agencies said that they could actually insert an IUD in one visit. And then when we asked them what was typical, they said that only 18% of the agencies said that they typically inserted an IUD in one visit. And then when it came to the implant, we found that more providers were able to insert the implant in one visit than the IUD. So about 60% of providers said that they could insert the implant in one visit. But when in practice, only 36% of the providers said that this was typical. So in our qualitative interviews with the clinic directors, we asked those with multi-visit protocols the reasons why. And several reasons, common themes emerged. So first came about this idea of the need to complete comprehensive counseling and go over the patient's medical history and explain the different methods. So as one clinician says, or clinic director says, we want to make sure that the patient is fully aware of side effects. And then also another idea that emerged is the idea that they wanted to allow patients more time to consider their options and commit to the LARC method before insertion. Another very prominent theme was the need to perform routine screening tests. So screening for pregnancy, STIs, and cervical cancer. So we always want to see if their PAP is good, according to one clinic director. And then a few, this wasn't very common, but a few of the agencies were unable to offer LARC in one visit because they needed to refer out. And we had 3 agencies who had actually experienced with different protocols. So 2 of these have started out with a multi-visit protocol and switched to a one-visit protocol. And the main reason for this was the idea that they wanted to reduce the barrier to their clients. So in the past, we had required more than one visit, and we found that was a barrier. One visit has decreased barriers and increased the likelihood of the client choosing the IUD. And then another agency talked about how they used to make the patient wait to find out how their STI, to get the results back from their STI test. And they found that it was better to move forward with one visit and not make the woman wait for the results. And then there was a third agency who had actually started out with same-day visit protocols and switched to a multi-visit protocol. And the reason for doing this was this, the idea that they felt that the patient needed more time to think about and decide and choose their method, and they felt that this would decrease the risk of method discontinuation. So we have done it both ways, and we have greater success with method continuation if they take more time to make the decision first. So in order to get a sense of providers' attitudes about same-day LARC insertion protocols, we asked the clinicians whether the number of visits required affects how many women choose LARC. And we found that 43% said that yes, it does, and 38% felt no, not at all, and the rest fell somewhere in the middle. And then we did a multivariable regression analysis controlling for clinician and agency level characteristics and found that clinicians with fewer years of experience providing family planning services had a greater odds of believing that the number of visits required affected how many women chose LARC. So to sum up, what we found is when compared to the previous literature, we found that more clinics are able to offer LARC in one visit, even though the proportion wasn't as high as I think we would like to see it. And I think this change is due to professional recommendations and really the participation in these initiatives where they all have been thinking a lot about LARC. We also found that the agencies are requiring fewer visits for the contraceptive implant than for the IUD. And while I don't think this is an entirely surprising finding, I think it's new to the literature, so we really didn't know what that was before. And I also want to caution that this is really a very unique sample of providers. They've received a lot of money aimed at increasing LARC use. So I kind of think of these agencies as a best case scenario. So I don't think they're representative of other clinics in other states. And then we identified a number of attitudinal and structural barriers that are preventing same-day LARC insertions. So providers spoke of the need to perform all these routine screening tests, and these challenges that they spoke about really are inconsistent with ACOG's recommendations. And finally, we found that the clinicians with less experience held views that are more favorable to single visit protocols. And I think the reason for this is that these clinicians likely completed their training more recently, so they probably received more updated information about the most recent guidelines and recommendations, whereas those with more experience receive their training later. But that's just one theory. And the implications are that still, while we're seeing improvements in the number of providers who can offer same-day LARC insertions, still I think there's some room for improvement. And this might be unnecessarily burdening clients, creating a barrier for them. It might be preventing some providers from being able to offer immediate post-abortion and postpartum LARC and the copper IUD as emergency contraception. And it might be deterring some clients from getting their desired method. There are still some attitudinal and structural barriers that are going to need to be overcome before practices can adopt same-day LARC insertion protocols. So, and I just want to do a shout-out. If you're interested more in this the study, we just recently published it in Contraception.
Great journal, by the way. Thank you.